Hello and welcome to Backyard Catch. This is Nick Roby. Thanks so much for joining me. It's a great time of the year. It's a wonderful time. We're reaching the end of March. Spring is starting to come wherever you are in the country. I hope this reaches you well. Where I'm at here in the South, it's starting to get a little warmer. You're starting to see some grass growing. And we are starting to settle on who are the final eight teams playing in the country. So if you listen to this podcast, we talk mostly ACC hoops when it's come to basketball time, but we talk a little bit more around the country when it comes to this time of year. So we had two ACC matchups tonight, both in the West region. We'll start with the Clemson Tigers, who were playing in the Sweet 16 for just the fifth time in school history and the first time since 2018. And before that, you had to go back to 1997. So Brad Brownell brings the boys back for the first time since 18. They're facing an Arizona team who's number two, and they're trying to get off the schneid with Tommy Lloyd in his third year. And this is their third time trying to get back past the Sweet 16. And Clemson comes out, and despite, you know, maybe some national media not maybe giving them the attention they deserve, being the third time that they've been an underdog, they win. They defeat the Wildcats 77-72. So just for the second time ever, and the first time since 1980, the Clemson Tigers are going to the Elite Eight. Wow. I mean, it's hard to say enough about what the run these Tigers have been on, because they had lost three of their last four coming into the tournament. They lost in the quarterfinals against the Boston College team and lost by like 20 points, 21 points. And this team, I mean, they had the makeup. It's just a matter of whether or not they were going to all put together at the right time and if the matchups favored them. I mean, and like I said, they were an underdog. They were the sixth seed, but coming into the New Mexico game, they were an underdog against a strong New Mexico team. They were underdog in round two against a strong Baylor team, especially offensively. And then against Arizona, they were an underdog. So give them credit, man. And I think also underrated too, like these boys, they came back late in the morning on Monday to then turn around and go right back out west because they were playing in LA in the first game in the Sweet 16. So a tough turnaround, and they answered the bell. I mean, it wasn't like the prettiest, I would say, at all times, but the thing is, they did it. They closed, and it wasn't just one guy. I think the big key coming to this matchup was how they would handle like the bigs, like with Balo from Arizona, who was the 7 foot, just really strong dude, really strongly built, and with PJ Hall, who's the All American, you know, type player, all ACC caliber player. Like, how would he handle it? Because I would say that he has played well, but his problem in these first two games has been foul trouble. So it's a matter of like, how would they handle that? How would Clemson attack on offense? How would they handle the size? Because Arizona definitely had more of the size down low, but like the bigs for Clemson could pull them out and shoot the three. So I think the big key for them is how is PJ doing foul trouble? And he didn't have a foul in the first half, and the fouls were not in Clemson's favor. So it was pretty impressive that he ended in the first half without a foul. He and Ian Sheflin. Now, of course, he got three fouls within the first 6 minutes and then didn't have a foul the rest of the game. But I thought that he handled that pretty well. The guy that stands out for me and the guy that really stands out when it comes to this tournament for Clemson has been Chase Hunter. I mean, the dude just keeps balling out. And they had some turnovers, but he has been so strong with the rock, so strong with making decisions for the most part. And really just his calmness about him has been really impressive. Hunter had 18 points, which had seven rebounds, 5 assists. That was big. He did have the 4 turnovers, but I mean, Arizona was playing a tough defense. They were right on top of him with that. So I thought he played pretty well, had the huge and one late, which was massive. I thought he played really well, and it was really cool to see his brother, Dylan Hunter, get the and one play right at the end. Clemson did a good job. I mean, they got comfortable early. They made Arizona take some tough shots and just not let them get super comfortable. I think it was really like evident. Like once Arizona started able to get through the first level, you know, the defense, they were able to get some of the size down low, but they played more zone, which I thought was helpful in trying to mitigate some of the size differential. And and also helped that Balo didn't shoot very well at all from the free throw line. He's only a 50% free throw shooter anyway, but they did that pretty well. I thought they schemed pretty well. I was really impressed with how Brunell tactically like took it, like in the adjustments that were clearly made. You saw Gerard get it going a little bit the second half, but Hunter and PJ Hall played well. Shefflin played really well. I thought him and Hunter played really well in the mid range, because that's what you were going to kind of see, is that they played the three pointers really hard. And then obviously Arizona had the sides in the middle, but how you attack that and how you pull them out was the mid range game, actually, which is not always emphasized as much, but those guys I thought played really well and forced Arizona to kind of have to adjust to that. But it wasn't the cleanest of games. And I think that's even some of the more impressive things, is Clemson didn't have to play its A++ game to win. That they're playing with these teams. And if you've watched the ACC and you've watched the Tigers, you know that they're capable of this. I would say some of the frustrating things about it for them was that they have capabilities. They have this talent, but it hasn't always come together. And they've had these lulls, and they've had these maybe sometimes being a little more careless with the ball than you like. But I mean, I just really thought they played big guys. And I thought what's been big too is getting big minutes from the backups. I thought RJ Godfrey played another great effort, getting great effort off the bench. I thought Chauncey Wiggins made some good plays. Dylan Hunter made some good plays. I just thought that they all, assumingly as a team, like every guy has really taken a hold of their role. Jack Clark has been massive defensively, and he's made some key buckets too. I thought it was great. But I really think that Brunell did a great job a couple times, calling timeout or out of a break, getting the free easy baskets or drawing up good plays to get his team in rhythm, or even just sensing when the crowd was getting into it. I thought he did a really good job, and I was just really impressed with it, because they're in LA, and so it's definitely more of an Arizona crowd. And even when Clemson was up double digits and they made a couple baskets in a row, I thought there were a couple timely timeouts to keep his guys settled, not let the crowd get into it. Just the feel of the game, I thought he did a really excellent job of that, honestly. Because Arizona, they want to get out and run. That's how they get going, And you could see when they started to get going, they can make up a 10-point difference in a hurry. I mean, that's not a fluke that they've scored almost 88 points a game. And Clemson really wanted to slow it down, and it really frustrated them. And the fact is, they had some guys, get going a little bit. But, when you look at their stats, I mean, Balo had 15 and 15, but he was going to get those rebounds. He was only 1 of 7 from the free throw line, which I thought was big. He only had one block. Caleb Love had 13 points, but he had to take 18 shots to do it. He was 0 of 9 from 3. They were only 5 of 28 as a team. Bradley made a couple threes. He had 18, but he's not a typical shooter. So I thought they did a pretty good job scouting-wise and made them take tough shots. And they were the ones in position, and I think that they were the ones who had less of the pressure on them to do so, even though for a lot of these guys, they hadn't really been in that position before. So I just thought it was really an impressive performance. It's arguably one of the most impressive, arguably one of the biggest wins in school history. Because like I said, it's only the second time ever they've made the Elite Eight. Like, Clemson basketball has not necessarily been here. And even before that, I mean, they had to play Arizona, like a 2 seed. Like, that, it's not just like a nobody, Like, these are some of the top teams. They had to play Baylor. They had to play a New Mexico team that won a tough Mountain West conference. Like, these aren't slouch teams. So I was really impressed with that. I thought Arizona definitely had talent, but I thought they could have definitely played better. But I think you also have to give credit to Clemson. I think they made them uncomfortable too. Like, Arizona just didn't look quite all the way comfortable, and they were trying to react to that. But I think Clemson just felt like the more in control team, and they made plays down the stretch, made some big free throws. And I just thought Chase Hunter, like, he is making a case for all tournament team, and he's making a case for, the farther Clemson goes. Like, I mean, he has just been sensational. And I think this team, they go as far as he can go, because he adds such that dynamic with his play defensively. He can get off the ball, he can drive the ball so quick and turn the corner, force the defense to clock, find shooters in the corner, make the mid-range, force it. He's a great free throw shooter. I think Clemson's free throws have been really helpful. And even they haven't been getting there as much as their opponents, they've done a really good job of that, hitting their free throws late. And I know PJ Hall hasn't maybe had all the like stats he's always accustomed to, but he's had to play some big guys, especially against Arizona. You could just tell that he was giving it all out there. And I just like, and just the will. And I think just it's underrated too, like what Ian Shefflin does, like just the energy he brings and just this moxie and this toughness and the way he's getting rebounds out there. Like it's just the will that he has to get these, some of these rebounds is just really impressive. And Chase Hunter, how he can go up and get there. So I know that they're treated as an underdog on a lot of these teams, but this team thinks that they can play with anybody in the country and they're showing it. And now as we can transition into the other game, you know, you expect them like either team, if they win this game, either team that they would have played, Alabama or North Carolina, if you remember, they won at their place. They beat Alabama in the non-conference way back when, you know, in December in a tough matchup. They won and won at North Carolina for only the second time ever. You know, they played a tough North Carolina team who won the regular season and was a one seed coming into this. So they had beaten both those teams already. And so it's an interesting dynamic to play. But yeah, I mean, like, and now they're, as we're going to talk about, they're going to face Alabama, and neither of those teams have made the Final Four before. So it's not like you have this other team who has all this experience. Like maybe some of the guys individually have made, you know, played at other stops, but them as teams, they have never been there before. It's only the second time for either of these teams to make the Elite Eight. So it's impressive, and it's and now it's just like you just get to play free and just let the chips fall where they may, and just enjoy it, enjoy the time, you know. And it's a really fun time if you're a Tigers fan, for sure. We'll transition to maybe a little tougher if you're an ACC fan, if you're a North Carolina fan. Alabama comes back and they just hold on, and they win 89-87 in a much different pace of play game. Man, I mean, watching these two games, it was you couldn't put your head down because there were so many shots taken in these games. In this game, I mean, there was a combined 100 points at halftime. North Carolina at halftime 54-46, and just so many shots were taken in this game. This one just felt like it was going to come down to the wire. Originally coming into this game, I thought that, you know, Alabama likes to play fast too. I thought North Carolina was a little stronger defensively, and I thought that eventually they would pull away a little bit and Alabama might force them a bit a little bit and North Carolina would just get to play like their game. But North Carolina likes to play this free and open space game, and Alabama likes to too. And so it just made it very interesting. But man, I was just super impressed with some of the players for Alabama. I mean, Mark Sears is just very dynamic. One of the quickest shots that I've seen, you know, and I've watched him before, but just, man, it's just so impressive. So many quick decisions. He had 18. He was 2 of 7 from three. But some of their other guys, Estrada, like, you know, it's very interesting. Alabama's very much, they're talking on the broadcast, very much into the analytics of, like, we're going to take threes and we're going to go to the basket. Like, we do not shoot the mid-range, except for Estrada, the lefty, number 55. And I thought he made some key baskets because he forced North Carolina to have to be aware of that, you know, and it definitely helped stretch them out. But man, for other players, for them, I thought Grant Nelson was just so impressive. He had 24 points. He had 10 of 13 from the free throw line, made 2 threes, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks. I mean, the dude, like, it was actually interesting. They would let, you know, their other big come down and Nelson would play a little bit more in the middle, and he would come and double and help Baycott, like help on Baycott. And he actually blocked a couple of them. They called a foul, I think, on one of them. But just, you could tell defensively that they were getting into North Carolina a little bit. And yeah, it just seemed like North Carolina started pressing a little bit. Like, they definitely were playing more free, but I think Alabama just kept hanging around and wouldn't quite go away. And they kept hanging around. I don't think North Carolina played like terrible, you know. I mean, they scored 87 points. They were 15 of 17 from the foul line. They shot 12 of 32 from three. Cormac Ryan had a great game. He had 17, right behind Baycott, who led the team with 19 and 12. He was 5 of 8 from three, made some big time threes. Cadeau hit 2 threes early. Seth Trimble hit 2 threes. So, like, the guys that you weren't expecting to hit threes hit threes. Ingram hit a couple threes. The hard one again is RJ Davis, like the, you know, former backcourt with, you know, Caleb Love. And we thought that we, you know, coming into this matchup, and when you look in this region, you're like, man, we're going to get a North Carolina Arizona rematch to Davis versus Love, and the guys combined from 0 of 18 from 3. Like, they just didn't play the best. And RJ Davis did a good job later driving to the basket and getting fouled, but they just couldn't hit it from 3. And I think that's when North Carolina's at their best, is that when Davis and these guys can start hitting some 3s, but he just couldn't quite get going. And they had to start relying on some other guys. But, you know, it was Alabama's one of making the big shots. I thought Nelson was massive late. Like, he was making plays. He's a big, big guy. He's driving the ball down the lane and forcing shots, had the massive and one. And so, you know, I think, like, when you look at this, like, when you look back at this, you know, like, when you're looking at these teams, like, you know, yes, I was a little surprised North Carolina lost, but I also would say, too, like, there are times where North Carolina, like, maybe has a little bit of a harder time getting going, or they can get into this kind of a little bit of a lull, either in the midst of games, and they won the regular season, but, you know, they've been prone, you know, against good teams as well. And so Alabama is a tough team. Like, I think that's the thing of all this, is like, Alabama is a tough team. And like, when you're at the Sweet 16, like, these are all good teams. These are all teams that can beat one another. Like, even if one's like a favorite, like, it happens. But I would say, you know, it's hard for North Carolina. It's guys like Baycott and Davis, like, they're done. Like, that's it, you know? And, you know, I had them going at least one more round, but, you know, you have to be on your A game. And they just weren't quite, and didn't quite make quite enough shots. They had a chance at the end. Withers takes a 3. I would say I wasn't maybe the biggest fan of that. Like, he was open, but it's not maybe necessarily the guy you wanted to have the ball in your hands, but you lost a 2-point game. And they made a decision with like 7 seconds left. They're down 4. At RJ Davis, they have RJ go, you know, drive down the court and then hand it off to Baycott for the lay-in. But it took so much time. I almost wonder, like, you don't necessarily have to have the 3, but with just like 7 seconds left, you almost wonder if you have to take the shot just to give yourself a chance, because then they only had like a second, you know, left after they foul to then get the potential, you know, for the full court heat, you know? So, but they got themselves in that situation. So, I mean, I think you just give more credit to Alabama and what Nate Oates and company have done. And, you know, it's the first time he's gotten that team to the Elite Eight. It was just impressive. I thought it was just a really good basketball game. It was very entertaining. And it's one of those, it just comes down to the final moments, who makes the play. And Alabama made a couple more plays. I think that's it. I think you can look at some, and it'll be interesting to see how North Carolina responds to this. But I don't come out of this as like a doom and gloom thing, but I do think, like, you know, I expected them to maybe close a little bit better, but I think Alabama was just, it was their night. They were playing super well. Like, you got to give credit to those guys, and somebody had to win and somebody had to lose. So there you have it. Remember, the West region now is going to be Clemson and Alabama. Clemson is playing for a potential shot for the first level Final Four. That'll be Saturday night. So we got a couple more matchups, though, in the ACC. Remember, the 4 teams make the Sweet 16. So going into the next games, we have Friday night, we have NC State is the 11 seed. They're still playing, and they get Marquette, which is fun. And then Duke takes on 1 seed Houston tonight as well for a chance. And they're both playing in the South region. So they could theoretically play one another. We do have a couple more games. I did forget to mention that we had a couple other games last night. UConn took care of business against San Diego State. I wasn't like super surprised by that. And then Illinois fought a tough battle with Iowa State. Terry Shannon is really good. He's the best player in this tournament right now. He's just playing electric. And the game between Illinois and UConn for a shot in the Final Four, it'll be close. It'll be tight. UConn's the favorite, but that's one to circle as well. If you get a shot, I mean, all these games I think are must watch for sure. But we're breaking down some more ACC games. We'll start with Marquette, NC State. NC State, remember, had to go on the 5 games in 5 days to win the ACC, to even get in the field, first off. So they had to go on all that run. They beat that North Carolina team. And so with those kind of teams, you're like, okay, a lot of times they run out of juice, or, you know, they use all this energy just to get into the tournament. They go on this magical run and then they can run out of juice. And honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect against a tough Texas Tech team, you know, known for their defense. And but give props to them. They came out, they won 80-67. And then they faced, you know, you would think they're going to face Kentucky, but no, they have to face, they get to face Oakland and the Cinderella darling in Oakland. And they get forced to overtime, but they make plays late too. And now NC State's looking at the Sweet 16, you know, as maybe the surprise and, you know, the lone double digit seed. But this is, man, I mean, if you want to talk about a team that is hot and getting streaky, it's NC State. Now, it'll be interesting is that they're going to go against Tyler Kolek and the Shaka Smart defense, you know, with Marquette. And, you know, going into this, honestly, it's tough. It's tough because I just know, like, how comfortable Kolek is with the ball. I mean, arguably, he's the best point guard in America. Like, if you haven't watched Big East basketball, like, I'm telling you, this guy is for real. He can play. He's a good distributor of the ball. I mean, he's just fun to watch. And Marquette's, I was just double checking, Marquette's a 7.5-point favorite. I think it's about right. I think they really need a good game from DJ Horn. You know, I like Burns. I like this NC State team, but they've been playing a lot on just also the emotion and getting, you know, some good things going. I'm just double checking some stats as I'm pulling this up, you know, one man show. Yeah. Burns is, you know, is 12 and averaging 12 points, 4 rebounds. Horn leads the team in 16 points. I mean, I think they need to hit some shots outside for sure. I'm nervous for Burns defensively against this team. And, we'll just be interested to see. I think Falcho will be another big thing, but man, I also just don't know how much energy this NC State team has, and they keep surprising me, you know? So, I mean, they can keep surprising me, but I think this is tough, man. Like, Marquette's really good, and Marquette struggled a little bit with when Kolek was out, but now that Kolek's in and he's got his feet under him, man, I mean, they're just a different animal. They're tough. And I think it's a little bit too much. So I'm going to take Marquette. I think they cover. I think NC State plays well, but I think they just ran out of steam, honestly. And I think I'm going to take because of their 7.5-point favorite, I'm going to take Marquette to cover the 7.5. I think it's just a little bit too much, but it doesn't take anything away from the run that NC State's been on and the season that they've had and what, you know, how Kevin Keats has gotten these guys to play and believe. And man, they're fun. It's a fun team to watch, but definitely to watch. But I'm going to take Marquette against NC State. And then we've got the nightcap on 9:39 at CBS. We've got number one seed Houston taking on Duke. This is going to be a very interesting matchup. Also, Houston comes in a 4.5-point favorite. Duke, as we've gotten here, Duke actually has played two double-digit seeds. They played Vermont, and they won 64-47. And then they played James Madison, and they won very comfortably 93-55. I think their size just overwhelmed both those teams. And so this would be very interesting because defensively, man, like, Houston is another animal. Houston at times was number one team in the country. Houston defensively is one of the best teams out there. They just, bar none, they are. And this one, I think, is going to be really tough. I think Duke has to play really well. Houston is the one seed for a reason. And in the past, Houston hasn't had as many shooters to go with that defensively, but man, they're good. Like, it's a really good Houston team, and I think Duke really has their hands full. Filipowski, you know, is gonna play, like, has to play well, obviously. But Houston won in their first year of the Big 12, which has been arguably the best conference in college basketball for the past couple years. Like, Houston won in their first year doing that. Like, Houston's for real. LJ Cryer was the Baylor transfer. He is a great player. He had he's averaging 50 points. Shedd is a great guard, averaging 13 with six assists. Sharp's another guard averaging 12. There's a very, like, balanced team. Their guard play is really big. I think it's really big with the guards. I mean, I think Filipowski, like, can get some buckets, but I think Proctor has to play well. Roach has to play well, but I definitely for Duke to be in this game and really have an opportunity, they need Proctor to play well. And I think that's the key to it. And I just, for me, like, they got to be able to hit some outside shots. Maybe if they can get, maybe take, if they have, you know, take advantage with Filipowski and use him well inside and use his size. But man, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a pretty even matchup. And now that Houston has, you know, the shot making ability, and I just think they're really good at making teams uncomfortable. So it'd be really interesting to see how Shire comes out and tries to attack them defensively, but their guard play, man, like, they want to get out, you know, they're really, you know, in the lanes. And so this one's one to watch. But man, I know we talk ACC basketball, but I like Houston. Like, I like Houston in this. I think they just make Duke a little bit too uncomfortable and can get you out of what you want to do. And I just think they have enough scoring to be able to take care of business. And they've lost only four times for a reason. So I'm going to take Houston to cover. It's 4.5. I think that sounds about right. I'm not as much of a betting person, but like, if I was, that one's a tough, but to play it, I would say I'm going to take Houston to cover that, but it's going to be tight. It really is. It's going to be one to watch, maybe a couple final possessions in Houston. I see Houston pulling away late with some free throws, kind of a thing. That's the two ACC matchups. The other one to watch is we have Purdue going against Gonzaga. Gonzaga maybe had a little bit of a disappointing year, but they're playing Purdue, which they went on a team on a mission, but they never made the Final Four, and you got to win this game. So that one's one to watch. And the one I'm really excited about too is Tennessee Creighton. Tennessee's the last SEC team. That's the really, of course, it's the late nightcap, but Creighton, who's who I picked to win the national title, which is tough. I mean, I think a lot of people picked UConn, but I liked Creighton. I like what they see. And so I think Creighton's going to win that. And I have Purdue and Creighton going up against one another. But yeah, that one to me is a big circle game too. But like I said, there's so many games to watch and so much fun. But yeah. So guys, thanks so much for listening. There's a lot of basketball to watch. So remember to like and subscribe to the podcast. We're on YouTube, so make sure you are subscribed and share with any friends who might be interested in that. Leave us a review, comments. We'd love to hear back from that. We have a store now. It's backyardcatch.shop. We are on there if you want any apparel, anything like that. There'll be more coming soon, but just wanted to get that out there and get that going. Super pumped about that, and we have a lot to catch up along about, but we have more games tonight. So there you have it. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Watch a lot of basketball, enjoy this beautiful weather, and have a happy Easter. Thanks so much for listening, guys. I am signing off.